Father, thank you for all that you have for us today. We thank you for your blessing upon us, Lord, that when we seek you, you always reveal yourself to us in your fullness, in your gentleness, in your love, and your compassion. So, Lord, as we look into things today that you have for us, help us to just be so enthralled with your love that we would know the depth of that love that you have for us in Christ. So lead us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, welcome to session 6. And we're going to look at Ephesians 2, 3 through 6. So the context for this session is really the first two verses of the chapter 1 and 2. What do you remember from what Bill led you in? Were you all here for Bill's session? You were. Why don't we read just to refresh the memory here. Tansy, could you read 2 through 7, or 2 through 6, or Ephesians 2.
You don't want me to start at 1?
Oh, I'm sorry. Chapter 2, 1 through 6.
Okay. Yes. And you who he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Okay, thank you. So what do you remember from the first two verses? I'm going to pick it up in verse 3. Is that how far Bill got? Does anybody know?
Yeah. Do you mind if I look at my notes?
Not at all. Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
Even though I wasn't here, it's just
no,
go ahead. When we were reading it, it took me back to where Mark taught us through Peter, where before we were Christians, we don't even have the slightest capability to see Christ.
Yeah.
Unless he draws us, unless he opens the door for us, we just don't.
Yeah.
Our eyes are blinded. It's like Paul said, the scales fell off of his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even see it. So almost in one way, people have an excuse that they can't even see God unless God gives them the ability to see him. So that's kind of where it took me. It was like, you know, before when we lived in that, we just couldn't see God. Yeah. It wasn't until God opened the door that gave us that avenue and ability to see him.
Yeah. So we can't judge them.
Yeah. No.
That is so important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have compassion on them. You cannot judge them.
Right.
Yeah. Because they can't help it.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
I mean, that was the gist of
that
it.
That was the gist of
that
it,
that was the gist of it, and that, you know, that our spirit is dead, our soul is dead. we were enemies of God, we're battling, we don't even know it, you know, beforehand. You know, and he just asked what was our life like before Jesus.
Before, oh boy.
You know, and the thing is that we were connected with Satan. We didn't even know it.
Yeah.
You know? But he wanted us to read Colossians 2, 9, and 10.
Yeah, go ahead.
To start off today, so why don't we read that?
Go ahead. Bill, can I read it?
2, 9, and 10?
Uh-huh.
For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So the answer to the darkness there.
Yeah.
All right, well, I looked at these verses, obviously, so that I would understand. Mm-hmm. And I was taken to the thought that, the plight of human life outside of Christ is what's being looked at here. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he does not hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do we understand the power of our sin in our lives? What is unique about it? It's uniquely terrible in what regard?
Separates
yes.
us.
Yes.
Just
yeah.
keeps us yeah. away from the one who totally understands and has our good always
yeah.
in view.
Isn't that amazing? There is nothing else in this world, universe, whatever, that can break your fellowship. Now remember, relationship is never broken. Mm-hmm. You're always God's child. You're always a sheep.
But we can't receive.
Exactly.
It's not that he doesn't hear.
Right, right.
It's that what he says to us, we can't receive.
Yeah.
Because we're blinded. I mean, to think that we're born in sin and that we're so rebellious that the things that are good for us, our rebelliousness goes towards those things that are wrong.
Yeah.
It's just so...
So...
And only in Christ do we have power over that.
Is that changed? But I was just struck by how powerful that is. There's nothing else that can break your fellowship. Relationship is never broken.
Right.
Fellowship is broken.
Right.
And you can grieve the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Jeff, what was Isaiah?
Isaiah 59:2. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. So, this guy named Hobbes, who I've been reading, or this is a quote from him. He says, "The ends to which sin leads us are ghastly. All values are obliterated. In the chaos that follows, human life becomes solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short."
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we're naked and ashamed in our mm-hmm. sin. You basically are with Adam and Eve behind the bush, mm-hmm. hiding mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. you rebel.
And all your thoughts are manipulative.
To justify yourself. Isn't that?
Isn't it?
That is so true. Yeah, we do everything we can to save face.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's so easy to turn that around, to just go to him and ask for forgiveness.
Right.
That's
yeah.
the thing. It's like we work so hard at trying to do that side of the justified
yeah.
side when all we have to do is just go with an earnest heart and say, well,
yep.
forgive me, I blew it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he gives you a way out.
Yeah.
You know, whatever relationships or whatever that has gotten ruined, he gives you a way out.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that wonderful?
I know. I know. Well, he's the answer. He is just the total answer.
Yeah.
You know, the first three verses, the first 10 verses of Colossians 3.
Oh, is so Colossians is amazing.
Yeah, that is so challenging.
Colossians is. I was in Colossians for later in the study. We'll get there. All right. He made a lot. And what is a word that strikes you in that very first verse? And you he made alive what? I was struck by the fact that it says when and not if. In other words, everybody. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We're all together in our brokenness before Christ comes. So
wait a minute. Sorry, I don't know where you are.
The first verse says, "And you he made alive."
What you just read.
When you were dead through trespass. It's not an if. It's when. It's a fact.
Okay, my version doesn't say that.
What does it say?
It says who were. So, but it means the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Who were or when were. Yeah. I was just looking for when.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I couldn't find it.
All right. So it's a fact for all of us before Christ comes. And, you know, what is the relationship between separation from God and spiritual death? I mean,
you have none of God when you're separated from him. I mean, you have all of his benefits because you're breathing and you're enjoying the sun and food. And so you're having all of his benefits, but you're having none of the fellowship.
Of the fellowship, yeah. Right. So it is spiritual death
to be
separated.
Well, it's like you said before, it's a relationship. There's still relationship and separation. There's no relationship and spiritual death.
Right. Exactly.
So there's... You're just taking. You're just being a user.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's probably verse two. You know, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. I mean, what is the picture that's being painted there?
Lived in a world where everything opposed God.
Yeah, I mean, who is the prince of the power of the air?
Satan.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the course of this world that, I don't know, Bill probably went into this, but the Greek word is cosmos, which is an ordered world system. So, you know, what is the, in our present situation, what is cosmos for us as we live every day?
God's kingdom.
Well.
Oh, you mean?
Yeah, this cosmos.
Yeah.
It's deteriorating rapidly.
Yeah. It's our
spiritual death.
It's our culture. Yeah.
It's so frightening.
It's our materialistic, just sexually crazy culture that we wake up in the morning, we walk into that. Thank God we're not a part of it, but it is an ordered world system headed and driven by Satan himself. Mm-hmm. And so what Paul is saying is, he's saying, you know, you walk in this. This is a pathway. And you are following somebody. And, you know, the prince of the air is an interesting phrase that he uses in the way back in those days. It was thought that the interstellar area, which is between the moon and the earth, is where all the demonic activity lived.
Yeah, I never really got that.
That's where that phrase comes from. The prince of the power of the air. Interstellar region. Yeah, it's where that influence is constantly tempting and goading people to sin. So,
but it resides in a certain place, or like the starship is there, and they leave and come down.
If you can get past the moon, you're all set.
Yeah, I can't.
That's why we're going to Mars.
That's why we got to get to Mars. Yeah.
But it is a picture of how it controls the whole earth.
It does. Yeah. So the ancients, that's what they really believed. So
okay.
I don't want to, you know, we have better things to get on to, but we must realize, and this is the hardest part, and I can't believe it's Halloween coming. We must realize the truth about the life that we live on this planet that is around us. We are not of it, but we are immersed in it. The first thing is, the kingdom of Satan is a reality, spiritually, that is constantly at war with the kingdom of God. So one of you said war. That's what it is. Satan is a spirit. He cannot be seen. But the one who is in Christ can really sense his presence. I don't know if you guys have had experiences.
Yeah.
What is that like?
The first thing that happens to me is I feel confused.
Oh.
It's the first thing. It's like I can't, like, make sense out of what's happening, so that I can't, like, speak clearly.
Okay.
And then I'm aware that I'm in the presence of evil.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like the heck is going on?
Yeah,
here?
That's good.
You know, it's just
it's
going to
be individual. I get nauseated.
Do you?
I get sick.
Yeah.
I get a visceral.
Yeah.
My gut.
Yeah, and I think that happens to me too. Just a feeling like.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether it's fear or what, but just like, oh, something's going wrong here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Well, I don't want to dwell there very long easily, but, you know, you have discernment as a Christian, and you will sense the presence. God will give you discernment that you would not be deceived. So it's a wonderful thing. And the third thing is the satanic spirit is actively at work in some part of humanity. And these sons of disobedience really exist. This isn't not, you know, we love to believe that all dogs go to heaven, but, you know, turn to John 8:44. This is the words of Jesus himself. Maybe Mark, you can read that. It's a long verse. Might be one of the longest verses, but boy, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees here. Go ahead, Mark.
You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies.
And then 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. Maybe Harry, you can read that.
But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them.
Yeah. So that was already mentioned. Mark, I think you said blindness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't see.
Yeah. So that's it. I mean, there are folks out there who, everybody needs the gospel, but there are some people that are just, it's hard to swallow.
But it's that they have just kind of been overtaken by evil because they've gone for it.
Yeah.
They've had opportunities, but instead of taking the opportunities, they just went for the evil, and then they were overtaken.
Right, because the heavens declare the glory of God. I mean, God does manifest his character to all men.
That's right. So it's not like God just made them blind so they couldn't see.
Right.
They became blind and hardened because they didn't want to go that way.
Yeah, I mean, it goes way back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that we do not understand what it is in the foreknowledge of God that causes him to choose an individual. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
And so we're always humble. We're always grateful. We're always thankful. There's just no place for spiritual arrogance because there was nothing to recommend us.
Uh-uh.
We were chosen.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking that, you know, on the unbelieving side where people can't see God, it's like you have people that are just absolutely vile, murderers, killers. They have no good thoughts at all. And then there's people that go through everyday life that, you know, seemingly are probably thinking they're doing okay. And even though both live in sin, there's still a vast difference between the two. And yet God will choose this murderer over this person that's living a good life to come into his kingdom. And sometimes you just wonder. It's like,
pride, I think.
And that's the mystery.
It is a big mystery.
Yeah.
Remember the blind. Remember illumination? That ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know, the Holy Spirit generated incandescent perspicacity to see truth.
Right.
So it's a Holy Spirit issue. It's nothing that you generate yourself. it's incandescent, it's light-filled, it's perspicacity. You can see through the darkness.
Right.
And what do you see? You see truth.
Right.
And you see through, but yet sometimes we put blinders on because we want what we want.
Put
yeah,
shades on.
Exactly.
I can always do a little bit of that.
If you go back to Adam and Eve, you go back to Eve, instead of believing what she knew and what she'd been taught and what she had lived, she believed that God was trying to keep something from her, right? And so...
Well, that's what Satan
that's what he
tempted
does.
Her. Did God say? Did not God
isn't
say?
Isn't that what it is? People think, if I follow, I just won't be living a full, rich life. Like a fun-filled, great...
I can have it all.
I can have it all.
All right, let's go to verse 3 then, which is really the focus of the beginning of this session. So, among these, which is the people that we've been speaking of, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, so that we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So, what is our spiritual identity? As you read this sad commentary before Christ comes.
We didn't have any.
What's that?
We didn't have a spiritual identity before we knew Christ. It was just
Well, we had an identity, but what was it?
It was not the Spirit from the Lord. It's just, it's the worlds.
Yeah.
Like you said, the cosmos. We're living in it.
Yeah.
We're swimming in it.
Yeah,
and we're going with what the cosmos does.
Yeah, well, I was just taken by that. Actually, what he says right in the verse, I don't know what yours says, but we were by nature what?
Children of wrath.
Children of wrath.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is a serious issue. What is that? tell me about that. I mean. Why are we're children of wrath by what?
By our nature.
By our nature.
Yeah, it's just in us.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a corrupted, warped, fallen nature.
Yeah.
That is our spiritual heredity that we receive from Adam and Eve as their physical progeny. And I'll never forget. How old is Nathan now? He's what?
18.
18. I remember when we were having Bible study at Harry's house, and Nathan was probably about 6 months old, and Harry was bouncing him on his knee, and Nathan was smiling, and Harry would say, "You little sinner, you little sinner." I mean, he was this cute little baby, and Harry was affirming in his own gentle grandfatherly way that this, as beautiful as this baby is,
they are. Yeah.
He is. A sinner until Christ.
And it's so crazy. We all want to have children, right?
Yeah, so we all want to have these little sinners.
That all want to just rebel against us.
More sinners come into the world.
I know. We're all so, it's so crazy.
So, but I'll never forget that. I mean, do you have to teach a child to be bad?
No.
It comes by nature. Every baby that is born in this world affirms the truth that by nature we are children of wrath. That we are in divine condemnation, and it's a sorry thing, but that's what's going on.
Yeah.
So what is the relationship between spiritual nature, passion, and choice? There's a lightweight question for you, as you see it in that verse.
Before we get in there, I just want to read you Colossians 3:6. It says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience.
Yeah.
List all these things that we're... involving.
Yeah.
Because of these things.
Yeah.
The Son of God is coming upon sons of disobedience.
So. But what is. Tell me about passion and nature and choice. What is passion?
A strong desire.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just reflecting on you talking, how Satan has used. Something beautiful to make our downfall, like in this world, in our culture, sex is such an important thing. Oh, I mean, it permeates through the whole spectrum. Yeah. Everything is sex. And as I get older, it becomes less important, but still, mm-hmm. it's there. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can see it more objectively as you get older. You're not a slave to it in the same way.
You look at the advertisements, you look at everything.
Yeah. You don't see anybody your age in the newspaper modeling anything.
Oh, yes, you do. Actually, you do. What? This is kind of a new thing that's going on, is that they're using, especially the baby boomers, the way we all look now, and they're using them in sexual poses and things. I don't know where I heard this.
Well, that's true. I mean, you get all these.
No, they really are.
Yeah, all
they
these
really
gray-haired guys in bathtubs with somebody. Yeah. No,
but seriously, they are. This is a new wave. They're like not. It used to be that it was just all the young, and now they're just going for.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So the cosmos is.
It's really bad.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, the point is, it's a strong desire,
right?
And you know that. Nature that we have has with it passion, and that passion drives our choice, and it is a controlling thing.
Yeah.
This passion, it really it's scary. There is a slavery to it. A couple of verses that are very insightful. 1 John 2:15-16. Tansy, can you go there? 1 John 2:15-16. And then John 8:34. Bill, can you go there?
Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world.
Yeah. What is that? Lust of the flesh. What is that? That's what we've just been speaking of.
It's our desire.
Yeah, it's sensuousness.
Yeah.
It's sexuality. It's it's that, you know, that we're...
Mm-hmm. You know, Satan even tempted Jesus with those three...
Sure he did.
Three temptations.
Yeah.
Lust of the eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life.
Yeah, what's the lust of the eyes? What would that be?
I like it. I want it.
Covetousness.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And then finally, the pride of life. What's that?
I don't need anybody.
That's right. Yeah. Self-sufficiency.
Tell me what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You can take those three: sensuousness, covetousness, and self-sufficiency. Those are three renderings of those. I'm sure you could go other places with those, but that is really what enslaves us in our fallen nature. Passion works in those areas. So, you know, it's almost as if I do not own passion. Passion owns me.
Mm-hmm.
It's from the outside. It's from the spirit of the air. It's scary. You know, I do not own my own sinful nature. My sinful nature owns me. You know, I sin because I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
You know?
The NIV says in verse 3, it says, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature.
Yeah, there you go.
And I was just thinking, Harry was telling a story last night about he went out and bought a Costco apple pie, and he ate half of it in one sitting. And I'm thinking,
Harry, almost half of it. Home.
You're just lucky you had your blood drawn before you did that. Yeah.
Oh, you can't tell doctor stories around.
I know.
We forget you're here,
didn't.
Jeff.
But no, it's an analogy of, you know, we get these cravings and we just can't override them, and we're just gratifying that craving of the sinful nature.
Yeah.
My super eagle is in California, so.
Oh, is that right?
So, you're the Holy Spirit's helper.
My Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at the good stuff. This is where we are before Christ comes. It's unbelievable. You know, I've been, how many years now? 44 years in Christ? I don't know. But I can remember just like yesterday of what it was like before he came. And I'm sure that's what you guys
You know what I can too, which I think is absolutely
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I'll see people and I'll understand how they feel.
Yeah.
I'll look at them and I'm going,
That's so important.
And it's just like, I just think, I wish I could just explain this.
Yeah. Really. And that they would just get it. Yeah. All right. So, verse 4. But God, after all this stuff, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us. All right, let's just start with that verse. What is the significance of but?
Change of direction.
It's everything is different. Yeah. Yeah, I thank God. I mean, you know, the darkest night cannot withstand God's will to advance his kingdom of light. All that Satan has perpetrated will come to nothing, crushed by the might of God through Jesus Christ. That but, there's a couple other buts in scripture. But
calamity is happening, but God.
But God, yeah.
That's what we have to remember.
That's what we have to remember that. Yeah. And how is God described in verse 4?
Loving and merciful.
Yeah.
Rich in mercy. Mm-hmm.
He's rich. What's mercy? Harry? You're the grace guy. What's the mercy?
Just going back, I look at John's letters. He begins with grace, mercy, and peace to you.
Yeah, it's a nice trio.
And I see the connection of how God's grace is so great that he gives us mercy. Therefore, we could have the peace.
Yeah.
That surpasses all understanding. Mercy is deserving, not deserving, but...
not getting what you deserve. Yeah, that's your line.
Yeah.
You are God's riches at Christ's expense. Yeah, the grace. And that's a great definition of mercy. I mean,
but I love what John... in his letters, grace, mercy, and peace.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a continuum.
That's a beautiful line. Yeah, it's, you know, God is extravagant. He is reckless in how he loves. You know, the story of the prodigal son is just as much a story of the prodigal father. Prodigal means restless or reckless. And God just poured his love out on us. Even though we were sinners, we were better than a doornail, but he pours it out on us.
Yeah.
And, you know, the father waiting for the prodigal son, he pours his love out on this son that's wasted his whole inheritance. You know, puts a ring on his finger, kills the fatted calf. God is
because none of
reckless.
That stuff is important.
Yes.
You know, what's important is the person.
He came back.
Yeah, the person who comes to
Jesus. Your brother who was dead is now alive again. Isn't that amazing? So, heaven forbid, but if we get taken down the corridor, and you know, we've all had minuets and vignettes of getting into stuff that we, you know, that we really are separated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Michael always points to his 20 some years. God is waiting there. He's recklessly waiting to love us.
And then he gives you the years that the locusts stay. I don't know how he does it, but it's like
so. So his love is preeminent. He loves us with great love. I love that. Out of the great love with which he loved us. Rich in mercy. And in verse 5, how are we described? That's how God was described. How are we described?
Dead.
Yes. How are we dead? Through what?
Through our sin, through our nature, through living like that.
We die by our own hand.
Yeah, we die.
We are hopeless and helpless. Yeah. We are before Jesus comes. So, but then going on, you know, we were even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive together. What do you see in verse 5 and 6? What there's a repetitive emphasis there. What do you see there? Verse 5 and 5 and 6. He made us alive together. How?
By redeeming us.
Yeah, but are we alone in that, or who's with us?
Christ.
It's with Christ, yeah.
It's all with Christ.
Yeah, well, that's it. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Just throws in that. I called it up.
You know, it's funny. When I was first saved, right after I first got saved, I was trying to figure out how it happened. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I was trying to figure out what I had done right to earn this. That's how bad that is.
Well, no, that's true.
But really, I was trying to figure out
what
in the world had I done to get this whole change happen in my life. You know, and I would point to some things, but like none of them were really, because I was just a sinner, you know what I mean? But I even after I was saved, I was trying to figure out how I got this and other people didn't.
Yeah.
Which is sin, I guess, really. But I couldn't figure it out.
Well,
it was like,
if it leads you to understand that there was nothing that
you
offered.
Yeah, it did lead me to understand, because I remember thinking, I just don't get it. Like, how did this happen to me?
Yeah. So then you're just left with thankfulness.
Because I was like dead and sad and just, you know, and I had everything I wanted. That was the thing. I had everything I wanted and I was dead and sad. And then, boom, I was just full of joy. And I couldn't figure it out. Like, okay, how did I deserve this? I figured I must have done something. You know, like that song, you must have done something good.
I was just going to go there. That is the big lie in The Sound of Music.
Right.
Everything is great until she comes to that line.
But that was my line.
Yeah.
I must have done something good to deserve this to happen to me.
Yeah.
And I could never find out what I did good.
You didn't do anything good.
Yeah.
You were dead.
I was dead.
Yeah. So... But the point I'm trying to make with this is, you know, we're made us alive together with Christ, raised us up with Him, and made us sit with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I mean, Paul is absolutely trumpeting what truth. We are what? In the relationship to Jesus in all of this. That's in all of the life that we have. We are what?
Connected.
Yeah. Okay. We're with Him.
Okay.
I didn't even, you know, the learning target for enduring understanding of this session is that we would understand our identity and our position in Christ Jesus. And this is really the point of this whole section, you know, how is the love of God put into action for us? Mm-hmm. Well, He makes us alive, but it's with Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, God is, He speaks things into being. It's called fiat creation. I'm not talking about the car, but theo is a Latin word which means to do or make. So He spoke the world into existence. Well, He speaks you into life. We are spoken into life. He makes us alive, but it's with Christ. And then He throws in there the grace of God is that prayer, you know, by grace you've been saved. We're going to get into that next time. I don't want to spend a lot of time there, but the grace of God is really the engine of the gospel. I mean, that is where we get the power. He raises us up with Christ. All right, that's speaking of what? Of His resurrection. And where are we placed when we are raised up with Him? Where are we?
In heavenly places.
In heavenly places with Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are in a different place than we think. And the whole truth of the Christian life is that we are in that place continuously. You know, we are not held by fear of death. The degree that we fear death, that is the measure of our unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to face that all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I see people dying. I see the agony of... And I say, oh, my.
I know.
I'm afraid of that. But you've got to trust God that he will give you grace to die. Mm-hmm. The way he's given you grace to live. Mm-hmm. And that it won't be alone and alienated and suffering, meaninglessness. It will be rich. It will be powerful. It will be anointed. And it will be... You're going to be totally with him, probably in ways that are... I mean, Michael has said many times during his affliction with this how close he feels to God, how God is just mm-hmm. quickening him because he's so miserable that he's, you know, focus is taken off any other thing
right.
and placed on God. You know, I need mm-hmm. your help. I need you every hour. So...
You know, I was thinking of this the other day, speaking about death, about how we're all barreling down the highway, you know, in our cars, and anybody could make a false move. I mean, anybody.
Oh, I think about that all the time.
And one yeah. car could just go, brrr, yep. and like 20 cars could end yeah. up with everybody hurt, you know. But I thought the grace of God is that people go into shock, you know, like the system, they don't remember.
Yeah.
They don't feel the pain.
Yeah.
Because they're in, it's just unbelievable. And I think if the grace of God is there, the grace of God's got to be there when you're dying too.
Yeah,
where
yeah, it is.
You know, because
yeah.
if your whole body is breaking yeah. down, if you were feeling yeah. all that, that would be really
yeah.
You know,
that's really important.
Yeah.
We don't know about. We don't need the grace of God to die now.
No, we're going to need it when we need it.
We have His grace to live,
right,
and have the abundant life and live in the fullness of His power,
right.
But it's not going to end when we get sick. His grace is going to come to us.
Right.
And shepherd us.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched that with Michael. I'm like, I'm
yeah.
absolutely yeah. amazed. It's
yeah.
like,
yeah.
you know, and I mean, he is in serious pain all the time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. and then he has these moments where he's, you know, out of pain, but they don't last very long,
mm-hmm.
you know,
Thank
but
God.
And I just think it's got to be God's grace because
yeah,
who else? How do you go through this?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know.
It takes me to Psalm 139. It says, "I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And then it goes on, and I just turned to it. And it says, "Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." So, the future. God really knows what we're going to do.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
days fashioned for me when there are none of them.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
It's all planned out. It's not
our,
like
our lives.
Yeah.
He knows
yeah.
exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we are with. Just never forget this. With Him in Christ. With Him.
Yeah.
Because the result of this unity that we have with Him is that we are lifted. Into a new plane of living.
Right.
We are lifted into a new plane of living. Somebody said it's a removal into a new sphere of being. And 1 Corinthians 6:17, I wrote there for you, it says, "But he who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him." With him. So where Christ is, so is the believer. We are seated in the heavenly places. And, you know, I beg you to think on this and consider it. Philippians 3:20 says, "But our commonwealth is in heaven." Our commonwealth. That this is our true destiny. This is our true address. Okay? And it's... We don't know this. We don't live this. I know I don't. I am constantly, the world is in front of me, hassles and situations, and I forget that I am with Christ, I'm in Christ, and I'm seated with Him in a heavenly place. And if I would just take the moment to say, that is true, then the perspective that I need to have to get through this situation will come. We have the mind of Christ, says Paul. I mean, what an outrageous statement. How can that be? Well, this is how it is. Is that we have a position with Christ in the heavenly place, even as we are living our lives forward in this time in history. That is a huge thing to glom onto and focus. And Colossians 3:3 says, "For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God." I mean, what does that mean? What is your life hidden from?
Hidden from all the our environment.
Yeah, it's hidden from the world.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love that.
It's being under the wing.
It's what?
Being under the
wing. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I love that.
Don't you love it? In the shadow of the
yeah.
That is such a beautiful.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you know, in the solitude of soul stillness, the one who is in Christ is secretly embraced by the Father of lights. Mm-hmm. In the solitude of soul stillness, when you, man, steal away. Mm-hmm. Steal away. Be intimate. Be open. And, you know, it's a secret. I love it when Jesus says, "Go when you pray, go close the door and pray to your Father in secret, and He will reward you mm-hmm. in secret." Mm-hmm. Oh my. Mm-hmm. That there are some things you just don't share them mm-hmm. because, and Michael always says, it'll ruin it.
It'll ruin it.
It'll totally
it'll ruin it.
Wreck it.
And also,
blab it.
Other people's reactions to it will, you know, that. It will ruin it for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, this is really great, and you're looking at me funny.
I know.
So, we're all done, but just this last bit here at the bottom of the page. Just remember, time dissolves into eternity. Space dissolves into the infinity of the universe. The physical dissolves into the spiritual. But your eternal soul, the God-breathed essence of your being, united with Christ, sharing His life, living the life eternal that He purchased for you with His blood, dwells in His kingdom of light in perfect fellowship with Him forever. And, you know, we are in forever right now. Remember that time, you know, the earth is going to pass away. All this stuff is going to burn up. We read that in 2 Peter. You know, this is what God has for us. I hear so many times people say, focus on Christ. Yeah, you do focus on Christ, but don't leave it with just focusing. You know, Jesus
okay.
says, come to me. Come to Him, but then abide with.
Right.
You know, let the focus is the invitation, but it's an invitation to something.
Right.
And so what Paul is saying to us is, let's move beyond the focus. Let's be with. Let's commune. Let's be united with. And that is what he's calling us to. I mean, when you're getting slaughtered by the world, the first thing you need to do is focus. You got to get your focus off all of the stuff that's wrecking you. So yeah, focus is important. You can have focus. You can focus without having communion. But God intends for us to focus and have communion. You can't have communion without focus. So you got to see before you are with. So it's a two-step thing. But go beyond it. You know, go beyond it and
walk out into the world with it.
Yeah, and understand where we are in Christ. This is where we are. I mean, mm-hmm. gosh, I need to learn this. You know, I'm 62 years old and I'm still, you know. Can I really believe?
That's the sad thing, is to realize how old we are. And to realize...
We still don't get it.
How stupid we are still.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yes. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been given every advantage. And yet I still, like, I'm stuck being tansy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
all right.
Very sad.
Well, you can close this in prayer.
Heavenly Father, I just bless your name today and thank you so much for this study, Lord, that there's so many things that we can learn and spend time just grazing in what you're teaching us. But Lord, then we've got to get up and we've got to put it into practice. So Lord, I know that you'll do that for all of us. As we spend the time, you'll show us what step to take next. So, Lord, we thank you for our church. We thank you for every single person in this church, and we pray for every person's growth today. We pray for the worship team that they will lead us into worship, Lord, and that we will sense your presence and really know that we are in the heavenlies. And, Lord, we pray especially for Michael as he brings your word, that as he prayed this morning, that he would be free from pain and that he could speak clearly to give out the message that you've put on his heart. And, Lord, for all of us, that our ears will be anointed to hear, that we will really be the people of God. And we pray for the people that didn't come today. We don't know why, whether it's illness or tiredness or what, but we just pray for each and every one, Lord, that you'll bring them all back for next week. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Jeff, just a reminder. Is that your writing?
Yeah.
If I quote it, I like to.
Do you want to take those
in case
people at the
pass them out next week?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be here next week, but I just
right.
You run into people more than I do.
That I do.
Okay.